We continue the series on the seven signs of John, and this is the last of the seven signs. I hope you've enjoyed this series, and this actually leads us into Palm Sunday and Easter. And you'll recall that I've been challenging you each week to listen to the story and to ask yourselves four questions, maybe and reflect on those in the course of the week, and to ask yourself about the sign, what does it tell me about people? What does it tell me about Jesus? What is the message to me, and who else needs to hear this story? And I said that John uses that word sign very specifically in the gospel. In fact, it's the word semeia, the word we get semiotics from, which is the word for study of communications. And so John wants us to know it's not just a miracle, but it's a miracle with a message. And so this morning's reading is found in John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44. And it is a bit lengthy, but it's one of the most striking stories in all the gospels. And it's the sign of Jesus raising of Lazarus. Listen to God's word. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When Jesus heard this, he said, "The sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so God's Son may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for two more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." Then Jesus tells them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus was speaking of death, but his disciples thought that he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world." After she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to Jesus. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see," the Lord replied. Jesus wept. The Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus once more was deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came out. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we're looking at this seventh sign, which is the sign of the raising of Lazarus. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this man who is the only Protestant in a rather large neighborhood full of Catholics, and they would be very discouraged and upset because every Friday during Lent, while they were eating their cold fish, they could smell this man grilling steaks out in his backyard, and it bothered them so much they decided they were going to try to convert him to Catholicism, and so they tried and tried, and finally they succeeded. And so the neighborhood priest came to the man, and he sprinkled him with water and said, "You were born a Baptist. You were raised a Baptist, but now you're a Catholic." And so the next Lent rolled around, and it was the first Friday in Lent, and all the neighbors kind of gathered around. They couldn't believe it. There was a man grilling steaks out in his backyard, and so they crept up to the fence and watched, and the man was leaning over this grill with a steak on it, sprinkled some water on it, and said, "You were born a cow, you raised a cow, but now you're a fish." Well, I'm not sure that's the sign that we're looking for this morning, but it's good to have a little humor. Well, as I said, we've been walking through this series on the seven signs of John. And as I said, they're not just a miracle, but a miracle with a message that I hope echoes down through the ages to each and every one of us. And so as we walk back into this story this morning, it truly is a beautiful story. And we're told about Mary and Martha and Lazarus, two sisters and a brother. And Jesus is very familiar with them. You may be familiar with the story of Jesus going to the home of Mary and Martha, remember? And Martha is busy with all the preparations for dinner. Of course, she was making dinner for Jesus and all the disciples. There was a lot to do, and so she was doing a lot. Meanwhile, Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus and not helping out at all. And so Martha became very frustrated and finally went to the Lord and said, "Can't you tell my sister to help me?" And Jesus very lovingly turned to Martha and said, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the better, and it will not be taken from her." And I think it's a reminder to all of us that as busy as we are doing good things in life, we need to take time to pause and to worship. And really, that's a great deal of what we're doing this morning. And so I hope the Lord touches you this morning. And so Jesus had a very tender spot in his heart for Mary and Martha and also Lazarus. And so Jesus is some ways away at Bethany. He receives word that Lazarus is very, very sick and needs Jesus to come and to heal him. And Jesus doesn't come right away. Have you ever been in a place in life where you felt like Jesus did not answer your prayer right away? Am I the only one that has felt that way? Or that Jesus did not answer it in the way that you thought that Jesus should answer that prayer? And so Jesus lingers. We don't know why, but Jesus intimates that a greater glory, a greater good is going to happen in all this. And he tells disciples that Lazarus is asleep, and they thought that he meant a natural sleep, but Jesus says finally, "No, he's died, and it's time that we go." And so they journey there at the danger of Jesus' own life, as a matter of fact, because he knew there were those waiting for them to plant ill for him, but he went. He wanted to be with those he loved. And so while Jesus is still a ways from the home of Mary and Martha, Martha, of course, is the doer, right? She's the active sort of type A person, and she runs out a distance away and meets Jesus, and she said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Have you ever felt that way? "Lord, if you'd been here, if you'd answered the prayer my way, this wouldn't have happened." I know that I have. And so she begins to weep, and Jesus looks at her and said, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I'm the resurrection and life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world." And Jesus looks at her and says, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will never die." And then so she goes and she gets her sister Mary, who's grieving back at the house. And don't you know that all of us grieve a little differently? And so Martha, she is more active, and Mary is the one that's more to herself. And so she's grieving at the home, but Martha gets her and brings her to Jesus. And it's interesting, she says the very same thing her sister said. "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." And so two different, completely different personalities, those sisters, said the very same thing. "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus once again says, "I'm the resurrection and the life. Do you believe in me?" And they both believe. And they're, those two sisters, they're together, very different personalities. They're both weeping and grieving. Those around them, loved ones, are grieving as well. And there records the shortest verse in the entire Bible, two words, "Jesus wept." It is short, profound, and beautiful all at once. And so we're told that Jesus wept. Now Jesus continues and he says, "Where is he?" And they take Jesus to the place where Lazarus was buried, which would have been in a tomb that was like a cave with a stone rolled aside. And Jesus says, "Roll the stone away." And they said, "Lord, he's been there for 4 days. You don't want to do that." And Jesus said, "Yes, do that." And so they roll the stone away. Jesus says a prayer and then calls forth and says, "Lazarus, come forth." and Lazarus comes forth. And Jesus shows the greater good of the glory of God that is taking place. And so there's an interesting question that people often ask. If Jesus had the power to raise Lazarus, and Jesus knew that he was going to raise Lazarus, then why did Jesus weep? Why did Jesus weep? I think there's probably at least two answers. And the first is a very important one, which is, I think the first thing is that Jesus shares our sorrows. You know, when John writes this, the last gospel to be written, and John, of course, lived a much older life than all the rest of the disciples, perhaps Lazarus was even dead at this time. And a number of the disciples may have already become martyrs for the faith. Certainly, a number of Christians had died and friends of those. And so I think John is realizing this is such a powerful story in many levels, and one of them simply is that when we lose loved ones, that Jesus shares our sorrows. And all of us will lose loved ones in life. And so we know that Jesus is there, that Jesus embraces us. And many times we realize that when we lose a loved one, we don't need a philosophical reason about everything. And many times we don't even need a sermon. What we really need is a loved one who will embrace us and weep with us and join with us in our sorrow. And so Jesus, in a very real sense, is embracing Mary and Martha, and he's sharing in their sorrow. And I think that's a powerful thing to remember. As Jesus is on his way to the cross, and he will share all the sufferings and burdens and cares we could ever have, he's going to take them to the cross. And so in this moment, Jesus is sharing the burden, the sorrow, the grief of losing a loved one. And so he, together, embraces Mary and Martha, and he shares their sorrow. I think there's something else that's going on here too, which is I think that Jesus also wants them to see beyond the moment. I mean, Jesus says very clearly to them, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe in this? And they say, yes. And in fact, they do believe in the resurrection, the last day. They don't realize that Jesus is going to bring this to them in this very moment, and is the key turning point in the Gospel of John as Jesus heads to Jerusalem and will be the cross of crucifixion and then the hope of the resurrection. And so this speaks very powerfully to the disciples who will soon grieve. But I think on another level that it reminds us that many times there's the message of the resurrection to us, and when we lose loved ones, sometimes we forget in our grieving the true message that rings down through all the scriptures is that Jesus promises all of us the resurrection and the life that can be found only through him. And so maybe Jesus weeps a little. They don't really understand this powerful truth in the way that they need to. And just as you and I sometimes in our grief forget about that. And so I think it's important to think about that this morning. And I'm reminded of two stories that I love that I want to share. And the first is a story by Henry Nouwen, which is was a great priest, and he wrote many devotional books. But he tells the story of two twins. And these two twins were in the womb of their mother. And it was a boy and a girl, and through the darkness of the womb, and the little sister turns to brother, and she whispers, I believe something. And brother says, well, what do you believe? Sister says, well, I believe that there's life beyond the womb. Brother says, why would you believe something like that? All we have is darkness here. And sister says, well, I believe there is life beyond the womb. I believe there's light beyond the darkness. And little brother says, there's no reason to believe that. Sister says, well, I believe something else too. And brother says, well, what is that? She says, I believe there's a mother. Brother says, you've got to be kidding. There's no evidence for a mother. And sister says, well, I believe there is. She says, well, you've never seen the mother. She says, I know. But you know, every now and then I feel a little squeeze in the darkness, and that gives me hope that there's a mother and we will meet her one day. And Henry Nouwen goes on to say, you know, that's so often like all of us. We go through some of the darkness and struggles of this life. And indeed, the death of loved ones, and we struggle to believe in a new life. And he says, but every now and then in the darkness, we feel the squeeze of a heavenly parent who loves us in a way and the promise of the future. And one day, all the darkness will turn to morning and glory. And I think there's a beautiful truth for all of us that speaks to us in this moment. There's another story that I love too, by Harry Alcorn, who wrote about heaven. And he tells a little parable about heaven, trying to explain the question that we all have. I mean, how come this person is taken then and others are left behind, and the timing never seems to be right? And so he says, you know, we don't really know the answer to that, but he tells a wonderful story that I like. And so the story is of this man who picks up his friend for a party, and so he takes his friend to a party, and
they get to this party, and it's a nice party. It has nice hors d'oeuvres, and there's quite a few friends there, and they're enjoying that. And the man notices that one by one, some of his friends begin to leave this party, and he's not sure why. And so, but at one point, just as he's sort of enjoying this party, his friend comes up to him and says, "We need to leave now." And so he doesn't understand why. So his friend puts him in the car and drives him to a house, and he realizes that it's his family house. And he gets there and walks through the door, and all of a sudden it's full of friends and family who had left the other party. And as good as the other party was with hors d'oeuvres, this one is a real feast. It's a absolute, kind of Thanksgiving meal with hams and turkeys and his favorite pecan pie, and there's all kinds of things, and it's just completely eclipses the other party. And as he's enjoying himself, he notices that one by one, the people who were at the other party begin to show up at this party. And it's an even greater party. And he begins to reflect that if he had never left that other party, he'd never enjoy this party. And so Alcorn reflects and says, so it is in our own life. As wonderful as this life is and the questions we have about timing, one day all of us will be called from this life to a greater life, a greater home with a heavenly feast, and all of our friends who've gone before, in one way or one, they'll join us. And together, we might not have all of our questions answered, but we will be reunited in a powerful way. Jesus says this in John's Gospel a little ways down the road, in chapter 14, verses 1 and follow. He is talking to his disciples, and he will shortly go to the cross, and he's giving them comfort. But he's also, I think, speaking to all of us, and he says this: "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am going, you may be also. And you know the place to where I'm going." Beautiful words. I think as we think about that imagery of a heavenly home, that when John writes this about the story of Lazarus, it's not just about Lazarus, and it's not just sort of foretelling that Jesus will be resurrected from the cross. It's not only hope in times when we also lose a loved one. I think it's a picture of the other side of eternity, a picture that one day we will get the heavenly gates and Jesus will call us forth by name. And then he'll take us to a heavenly home, a home beyond which we could ever imagine, a home that is more home than any home we've ever had here on earth. And then Jesus will begin to call forth the names of people that we know. Grandmother, come forth. Grandfather, come forth. Mother, come forth. Father, come forth. Spouse, husband, wife, come forth. Son, come forth. Daughter, come forth. And so I think down through the ages, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and life." And one day we will know the hope of all of our tears turning to joy, mourning to dancing, in a way that is even greater than what Mary and Martha knew on that day. And we can cling to that hope, knowing that. Lazarus, come forth. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, many times our hearts are broken and grieving as we have lost loved ones. And as we look at this sign this morning of Jesus raising Lazarus, Lord, we pray you'd help us to realize that in our darkest moment of sorrow, that you're there with us, that you weep with us, that you share our sorrow. So help us to know that we do not bear these burdens and this grief alone. But help us also, Lord, to realize that in this moment, Jesus speaks in such a clear way that he is indeed the resurrection and life, not only of his own resurrection and life that first Easter morning, but also for all of our loved ones in our lives as well, even as we face the darkest night. Help us to be confident of this promise. Help us to realize that even though we have many questions about why loved ones are taken, that we know indeed that you walk them from this life into next, and one day you will call us all forth to heavenly home with feasting beyond what we could ever imagine. Through Christ's name, and all God's people said, Amen.